This is what I'm going to be speaking to you on the next couple of days. Dreams and visions. Dreams and visions. How to get a vision for your life. Listen, most Christians don't have a vision for their life. And listen, your vision is not to work 9 to 5 and rent a Blockbuster video on Friday night, own a BMW, pump out a few kids, have a house with a white picket fence. That's a byproduct of the vision that God gave you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things are going to be added unto you. That's not a vision from God. That's not a dream from God. Most Christians don't have a vision. And listen, you know the quickest way to your vision to come to pass in your personal life is help this man and this woman get to the vision for this house. And you watch what God does in your life. See, because you've got the corporate vision. You've got this vision, the church house, the corporate vision. But then you have your own personal vision that God speaks to you on what you're supposed to do. And so many Christians around the world, I ask him, what are you called to do? Well, I don't know yet. Dude, you better find out. What the heck are you waiting for? Hell ain't going to freeze over. It's getting a lot more hotter and a lot more full. Yeah. You better find out why on God's green earth you are here, and it is not to have a six-figure income. Nothing wrong with a six-figure income. In fact, if you have a six-figure income, write me a check to feed the poor. Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 73. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we come to you so hungry for what men cannot give us. We're tired of creeds and doctrines and traditions that originate from men. But we desire your pure, undefiled access into your best. Holy Spirit, come. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive what the Spirit of the living God is doing in these last days. Lord, let us be like the sons of Issachar who understood the signs of the times. Lord, let us understand the time in which we are living. For those that are watching around the world, let them understand. Let them get a dream and a vision of what they're called to do. Lord, planet Earth is getting ready to go into the massive turmoil that you've called it to go into, predicted, prophesied. Lord, Israel will eventually take out Iran. Eventually, they're going to get nuclear bombs. Eventually, famine is going to ravage planet Earth. Eventually, the water is going to run out. Peter got a glimpse into the future and he saw the elements pass away with the fervent heat. Lord, all of this stuff talking about global warming, Lord. Yes, the earth is going to get a whole lot more hot, but it's not going to be because of CO2 gases. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to receive. And we are ever so careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Psalms 73. The Bible says, truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But for me, but for Grace Christian Center, but for wherever you're at right now, my feet had almost stumbled and my steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious and boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked man. For there are no pangs or pains in death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace, and violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance, and they have more than their heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily or with pride. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say to you, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Listen, behold, these are the ungodly. Listen, who are always at ease, and they increase in riches. Surely, the psalmist says, I've cleansed my heart in vain. I've washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said thus, I would speak thus. Behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Everybody look up here at me. The psalmist says, look. He says, I know God's a good God. And the devil's a bad devil. I know God is good. And especially to those that are pure in heart. Because the Bible says, Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He wasn't talking about in heaven. He's talking here about planet Earth. Nathanael was one of them. Jesus walked up to him and said, hey, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. He said, you're the Son of God. And Jesus went, whoa. Because I said that to you, you said I'm the Son of God. He said, hey, Nathanael, let me tell you something, what you're going to see. You're going to see angels ascending and descending to the throne room of grace. Could you imagine if Nathanael would have penned one of the Gospels? It would have been Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Nathanael. Could you imagine what he would have seen? What he would have dictated or narrated and would have been made available to us? He says, I know God's a good God, and especially to those who are pure in heart. But he said, as for me, the psalmist, he said, when I looked out the window and I saw the prosperity of the wicked man, he said, I began to get nervous. I began to covet what they had. See, some of you in here, you come to church, you lift up your hands, you give, you fast, you pray, you do everything that you know to do, and you wonder why you're still just barely making it. The psalmist said, man, when I looked at the prosperity of the wicked man, they're getting all the big jobs, driving all the nice cars, they're getting all of the promotions. You look at Wall Street, you look at Main Street, you look at the $1 trillion stimulus plan, you look at Washington, you look at Congress, you look at the nations of the earth, you look at the American economy and those that are running the economy, and it looks like the rich is getting richer and the poor is getting poorer. The psalmist said, when I looked at that, he said, man, each day that I begin to see that, I begin to get closer and closer and closer and closer. He goes, I was envious when I saw the prosperity of the wicked man. The increase in riches. Some of you are doing everything that you know to do. You're trying to raise your kids, give them a Christian education. You're trying to do the right thing. You come in, you worship God. Sometimes you can't feel Him. Many of you have never seen Him. You get ridiculed by family members. They say, what are you doing giving all that money to the church? What are you doing going to the church again? Don't you know you've been there 3 times a week? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All of this is beginning to come at you. Psalmist says, I know God's a good God. But he said, as for me, I got to the point in my life when I said, when, God, when? Why, God, why? You ever ask God why? You ever ask God when? Psalmist says, man, I know God's a good God. But as for me, he said, I started getting envious. Because I couldn't understand why things weren't working out in my life. He says, the rich get richer. And they say, how does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? What are you doing lifting your hands to a God you can't see many times that you can't feel? That's why when I'll go into a place or into a church or into a city or different things and people that I'll see, they'll go, oh, that church is the cult. That's usually the one that I want to go to. That's usually the one that I want to go to. Because I don't understand why. But I do know in generations past, all through the Bible, God usually only worked with a remnant.
That's right.
A remnant.
That's right.
That's why one of my favorite coin sayings that I say is in every generation, there is a remnant that dares to believe. Psalmist said, I looked out at the prosperity of the wicked. I looked in downtown Dayton, and it looks like the rich is getting richer. I looked at my president. I looked at Congress. I looked at my state senators. I looked at the stimulus bill. I looked at the world economy. And man, God, I'm doing everything I know to do to put one foot in front of the other. The best that I know how to do, God, and I'm barely making it. I'm trying to raise my kids, God. I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to live right. I'm doing the best I know how with the resources that have been available to me. Sometimes many of you go, God, where are you? Psalmist said, I nearly slipped. I nearly backslid. I nearly went back into the world when I saw the prosperity of the wicked man. Here I am, Tara and I, many times trying to feed the hungry of my city and the multi-millions of dollars of foods that are coming in. And at the end of each month, we're broke. Why? Because we're doing exactly what He called us to do. And sometimes you're like, all right, God, how are we going to do it today? How are we going to do it next week? How are we going to do it? But He required us to walk by faith. Because the moment that you start looking out there, all of a sudden it's like a magnet begins to latch onto you. And day goes by, and day goes by, and you're worshiping God, and you're worshiping God. But you begin to start going like that because you think it's better out there than it is in here. If it happened to the psalmist, it can happen to you. Paul said it this way, lest by the grace of God go I. I know God's a good God. But he said there's no pangs in their death. Their strength is firm. They're not in trouble like other men. They're not plagued. Pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than their heart could wish. They scoff. They speak wickedly. They set their mouth against the heavens. They say, how does God know? Where is the Most High? The Bible says, verse 12, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. And look, they increase in riches. Now, last time I checked, Jesus is not on Prozac, nor is He schizophrenic. If He said it, it's true. David said it this way, I've seen the ungodly grow like massive weeds and grass all over the place. If you continue to look by the natural eye, you will fail every single time. Because whether you believe it or not, He is working in the unseen realm on your behalf. Can you prove it? Absolutely. The next verse says, until I went into the sanctuary of my God, then I understood their end. Surely, you've set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. In but a moment they are desolated. As a dream when one awakes, Lord, when will you awake? You shall despise their image. My heart was grieved. I was vexed in my mind. Look, verse 22. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I'm continuing with you. You hold me by your right hand. You guide me in counsel. And afterwards, you're going to receive me. Who am I in heaven but you? There is none on the earth that I desire, but my flesh and my heart, they're going to fail. My bank account's going to fail. My education's going to fail. My theologian degree is going to fail. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. It wasn't until he went into the sanctuary of his God did he actually understand that your worst day in here is better than your best day ever out there. When you start to dream and think and fantasize that what you're seeing in Wall Street, what you're seeing all over the earth is the doom and the gloom. No, 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 no. Because as Pastor said, it's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better. It behooves you, you better be founded on God's Word. Because if you don't, you are going to go down the river like 10,000 other people that I know. Psalmist says, I know God's a good God. I know He's a good God. And those that are pure in heart, absolutely. But as for me, I nearly slipped. I nearly stumbled. I nearly backslid. I'm so envious of the prosperity of the wicked man. My gosh, God, you called me into this business and it looks like I'm barely making it. You called me to raise the kids and I'm barely making it. I'm a single mom and I'm barely making it. I'm pastoring a church and I'm barely doing it. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm living right. I'm doing right. I'm doing the best that I know how, God. I'm lifting my hands. I'm worshiping you. And Lord, where are you? What's going on? Till I went into the sanctuary. Then I understood their end. Then I understood. Because if you continue to look at what's going on in the economy and around the world by the natural eye, you're going to fail. Why? The devil's going to throw a lasso around your emotions and he's going to pull you in. Listen, they're going to get a bomb. Just a matter of time. And when they do, they're going to ignite it in the most populated place that they can. Could be Dayton. Could be Tulsa, could be Southern Cal, could be New York City. Irrelevant to you and I. Irrelevant. You want to talk about mass mayhem? You want to talk about mass panic? You want to talk about youth? Two buildings, two towers, cement and steel, fell to the ground on September 11th and the world economy stopped. Sports stopped. Entertainment stopped. Flight stopped. The world economy was shut down. The only thing that was left standing was family and God. That's the only two things. And that was just two cement buildings of cement and steel. What do you think is going to happen when 100,000 people are vaporized in a split second? You want to talk about pandemonium? You want to talk about fear? I was in the Second Gulf War. I've been in two wars. I've seen what it does. I've been in the place physically and geographically when people are dying. Until I went into the sanctuary of my God, then I understood therein. Because let me tell you what's going to happen. Go to Luke 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, stop right there and look at me. Who was Caesar? He was the Barack Obama of his day. He was the most powerful man in the world. His picture had his picture in his face was on all of the money. All of the coins. Caesar, all he had to do was point his finger and a person would live or they would die. He drove all of the Lamborghini Countaches and the Spider Ferraris. He wore all of the Armani suits. Come on, let's bring it into contemporary times. We don't drive horses and chariots. We drive jets. He had a Gulfstream 5 jet. He had a parade. He had all of the most beautiful women. He could go with that woman and that woman. Every sensual pleasure, all he had to do was point his finger and he had wanted. You lived or you died. He was on the money. He had all the promotions, all of the money. He had everything. The suits, the food, the mansions, everything your heart could desire. He was the most powerful man in the world. Tiberius Caesar. Look at the next guy. Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea. We all know about Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate gave the order that actually put our Savior to death. But even Pilate, when Jesus was talking to him, Jesus said to him, "You have no authority but that which has been given to you." But guess what? At any given day, Pilate would crucify 1,000 Jews on the streets of Jerusalem. Pilate had all of the BMWs and the Corvettes. He had all of the beautiful women. He lived in the palace. One finger you would live, one finger you would die. He had everything that his heart could desire. He was the governor over that whole region. That's power. Caesar was the number one man. Governor was the place. Pilate was in the place. It didn't matter. He didn't like you, you died. He liked you, you lived. Whatever he said was law. Whatever he said was done. His centurions would obey his order every second, everything. Boom, boom, boom. In the 15th year, you had Tiberius Caesar. Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea. Then Herod being tetrarch of Galilee. Herod was a wimp. Herod lived his whole entire life according to the flesh, according to the natural dictates of the flesh. But Herod was a king. Herod had power. He had all the beautiful women. He had all the nice cars. He had all of the fancy real estate. He had all of the Lear jets. He had all of the Armani suits. He had anything that his heart could desire in his sphere of influence where he lived. Why? Because he was a king. Look at the next guy. And his brother, Philip, tetrarch of Etura, from the region of whatever you want to call it. And Lyonisius, tetrarch of Albania, whatever you want to call it. Those people had everything their heart could desire. All the beautiful women, all the nice food, all of the nice clothes, all of the big houses. They wore a crown. People lived or people died according to the finger that they would point. That's power! Then look at the next two guys. Look at the next two. While Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, who was Annas and Caiaphas? They wore the ephod. They went into the Holy of Holies. It took 8 months to get a counseling meeting with those guys. Everywhere that they went, people wanted to sit next to them. They wanted to be the high priest. They wanted to be noted. How Jesus said, they chose the best places to sit. They sat on the street corners and they fasted and they made prayers. All everybody looked. Everybody was scared of them. But what does the next verse say? But the word of the Lord came to John. The word of the Lord for this nation is not coming to Barack Obama. It's not coming to Tiger Woods. It's not coming to who you think it is. The word of the Lord for this nation is coming to people that have been on the backside of the desert that you have no idea who they are. And guess what? They don't drive all the nice cars. When they look in the mirror, they're not the George Clooney's of today. They stink a little. Maybe they don't know how to walk. Maybe they don't know how to drive. Maybe they're not social etiquette. They don't know how to handle what's going on. But the word of the Lord, it's not coming to Tiger Woods. It's not coming to Barack Obama. It's not coming to Nancy Pelosi. It's not coming to Arlen Specter. It's not coming to Congress. It's coming to people that are on the backside of the desert that God is waiting and waiting and waiting for the right precise time to unleash what He's about to do on planet Earth. So as the psalmist said, I looked out and I was envious of the prosperity of the wicked man. That just gets cut off right away when the word of the Lord for his generation came to a guy in camel skin eating locusts on the backside of the desert. Could you imagine if John the Baptist walked into the American churches today? You know, most Christians, who does that guy think he is? Oh, it didn't matter. He know who he was. Yeah. And he know who he was going before. And he knew who sent him. Isn't it amazing? The word of the Lord didn't come to Caesar. Isn't it amazing? The word of the Lord didn't come to Pilate. Isn't it amazing that the word of the Lord is not coming to Putin? It's not coming to North Korea. It's not coming to India. It's not coming. The word of the Lord for our generation in which we live in now. Listen, we're not responsible for past generations. We're responsible for our generation and we're responsible to sow into the next generation.
We can't do anything about the generation that already gone. But let me tell you something. We are responsible for our generation. And I tell you right now, and I am prophesying to the nations of the earth, the word of the Lord has yet to come for the nations of the earth, but it's about to come. And when it does, it's going to come through a vessel who you're probably not going to agree with. Why? Doesn't the Bible say? Listen, what's the Bible say about Jesus prophesied in Isaiah? He was not a man. He was not the George Clooney of his day. He was a man that you would have thought, That's who the word of the Lord's coming to. The word of the Lord came to John. John, who stunk, who didn't shave, never had a manicure or pedicure in his life, didn't know what it was like to go to the spa, did nothing wrong with those things. Nothing wrong with those things at all. Nothing. So many people have looked out and said, my gosh, sheesh. They're getting all the promotions, driving all the cars, their kids go to the best universities. And look, I'm coming in here and I come to church and it looks like I'm just barely not making it. My finances, getting attacked. Listen, if you're getting attacked, praise God. Because listen, if you're not getting attacked, I challenge your Christianity. Can I tell you, all hell is breaking loose against Tara and I right now. All hell. All hell. Listen, you know what's happened to my family over the last 6 months? We almost lost my father 4 times. Last time he was 0.28 blood alcohol content. They found him dead, almost dead. Rushed him to the hospital. My sister's husband just died of cystic fibrosis not too long ago. I was on the other side of the world. I wasn't able to make the funeral. That opened up a whole other can of worms. My brother just went bankrupt. He lost everything in the economy, because he built homes in Nevada and Reno. Then they found tumors on his wife's liver, and she had to be rushed to a specialist in San Francisco. Then my Auntie Jenny, who I lived with, who was my mom's sister, before I married Tara, had a stroke and almost died. And Tara's grandma had a stroke and almost died. And then Tara's sister, Kelly, who just moved to Utah, her husband is now on full-time dialysis. He's hitting everything that is close to us, trying to get me to stop, trying to get me to slow down, trying to get me to compromise. Isn't that what God's calling me to do? I went to my pastor. I said, Pastor, what do I do? He said, man, you need to start calling your staff and your family in and start covering with the blood of Jesus, because he's trying to get you to stop. Listen, I love my president because he's my president. And God says I'm supposed to pray for him, but he ain't my Savior. He is not my Savior. Well, Jason, wasn't it a great thing that a black man made it into the presidency? Of course! I don't look at black and white, but I got over that in November. Of course, man. I grew up with the blacks in L.A. and I grew up in a Latino community. I was a little white boy who put a ball in a basket. I think it's great. I think America's ready for a woman president. I want her to be a godly woman. Doesn't bother me if she's black or white. I want Condoleezza Rice to run for president. If you really want to know who I want Condoleezza Rice to run for president. It's my personal opinion. Don't shoot me down now, whoever's watching. The word of the Lord came to John. Came to John. A person in his day who nobody knew. You know, I got a little excited. A man that speaks into my life quite frequently when I get to see him. He came to me and said, do you know what, Jason? He said, do you realize you're still in the quiet years of your ministry? I said, whoa, humdinger. Almost 90 countries and been around the world 40-something times. He says, you're still in the quiet years. Cool. You know, they asked Billy Graham, if you had to do it over again, what would you do? He said, I'd train 30 years for a 2-year ministry. John the Baptist trained 30 years for a 6-month ministry. Jesus trained 30 years for a 3.5-year ministry. Of course, we're called to go into all the world. But to hold the word of the Lord for a nation, for a city, where much is given, much is required. That's why I believe with all of my heart, we have yet to see an army that God has training and raised up to where they begin to come up above the radar. See, because in America, you can stay below the radar and have a multi-million dollar ministry. Before CNN or Fox News or any of them get a hold of you. You can go to this part of the nation, and you can say, my God, did you ever hear of this guy? And they'll go, no. Do you know what my friend that wrote that book, in Australia said to me when I was over there last time. He goes, Jason, he goes, America's interesting. I said, why? He goes, I can walk into a city in America and say, do you know who T.D. Jakes is? And they'll say, I have no earthly idea who that guy is. He says, how is that possible? I said, because you don't understand America. It's different here, people, than in the rest of the world. And I'm talking about the church. It's different. Psalmist said, I nearly slipped and I nearly backslid because I was envious of the prosperity of the wicked man. They keep getting richer and I keep getting poorer. They get happier and it seems like I'm getting more sorrowful. Their kids are getting everything and I can't even pay for my kids to go to school. What's wrong with this? I don't know about you. That seems backwards. And then we hear the scripture that I'm so tired of hearing. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Okay, I believe it. But I'm like, well, where is it? Where is it? Well, let's take it another step. Go with me to Psalms 126. Now we're going to get into it. I wanted to just lay that out there for you. Psalms 126. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who began to dream again. And our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And they said among the nations, among the Gentiles, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Verse 1, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who began to dream again. Do you know there are many of you in here tonight that have lost your dreamer? There are prophetic, it's funny listening to what Pastor was saying, the words that have been spoken over your life. There are prophetic words that have been spoken over your life that you're wondering, are they ever going to come to pass? Some of you have been called to start businesses. Some of you have lost your dreamer. Listen, when my dad married my mother years ago back in the early 50s, I've seen their picture. And my dad had a 57 Chevy. It was in all of the newspapers all over Anaheim, California, because he lived right next to Disneyland. My mom was born in Manila, lived in concentration camp for 4 years, then went to Barcelona, Spain, and then moved and met my father. Now, when they were walking down the aisle as a young couple, I guarantee you they had dreams and aspirations of they were going to start a new life. They were going to do this. They were going to do that. My dad never even in his wildest dreams believed that he'd be in California right now dying of alcoholism. I work with the pimps, the whores, and the thieves. I work with drug addicts all over the world. I feed the poor. I do this. I do that. Guess what? I don't know any of them that when they were a little kid said, I want to grow up one day and be an alcoholic. I want to grow up one day and be homeless. I want to grow up one day and ruin my life and bring destruction. No, they all had dreams and desires of what God had called them to do. Placed in. Why? Because the Bible said, in the heart of man, He has placed eternity. Some of you have lost your dreamer. Words that have been spoken over your life. I'm not saying the dream is dead. I'm saying it went dormant. That's why Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God by the laying on of hands. Timothy, why? He was bound in fear and his dreams were going dormant. What did he do? Lay hands. Stir up that gift, Timothy. Stir up that gift. You know, I was just at a church now in Knoxville, Tennessee. Pastor was sitting right here. The night before, Thursday night, I preached this on a Friday night. Thursday night, he had went to his staff and his wife and said, I've lost my dreamer. He said, I don't have it anymore, and I'm the senior pastor of this church. I don't want this. I've lost it all. I said, Open your Bibles to Psalms 126. I said, some of you have lost your dreamer. And he about fell out of his chair. It's time for you to begin to start dreaming again. The words that are in your heart, the prophetic utterances that He's called you to do, the business you're supposed to start, your kids to get off drugs, your family to be saved, whatever it is that you used to dream about. All of the time I am dreaming. I was just in Hawaii on like the 24th floor of the hotel with a balcony overlooking paradise, and Tara would be sleeping and I would get up and I would look over the water and I would just close my eyes and I would begin to dream and see dreams and visions of what God has called me to do, called us to do. You know, I was in Amman, Jordan not too long ago. And they said, what would you like to do today? I said, well, I'd like to go see the Dead Sea. I've never seen it. I heard it's dead. It's dead. But they said, well, what else? I said, what else? I said, I'd like to go up to Mount Nebo. They said, really? Okay, well, it's a windy road all the way up the hill. I said, no problem. I said, I don't get sick. Take me to Mount Nebo. So we went all the way up the hill. And then we got up to Mount Nebo. And then they've got this big, you know, replica and everything. And I turned around and said, they said, are you okay? I said, yeah, could you all do me a favor? And they said, what? I said, leave. They said, but Pastor Jason, da da da. I said, no. Could you just go? Hurry. Shh, leave. Get out of here. And they left. And they walked away like this. You know what I did? I got up right on top of Mount Nebo where Mo was 4,000 years ago. And overlooked the Dead Sea. You can see Jerusalem on a clear day where Moses was 4,000 flipping years ago. A little boy from Southern California going nowhere who was a nobody doing nothing is now sitting on Mount Nebo where Moses was 4,000 years ago. What did you do? I closed my eyes and I began to worship God and I began to dream dreams that were impossible. That people would think would never come to pass. And I began to let my dreamer go out there and I began to dream. And I used, man, Mo was here 4,000 years ago. Wow. I was telling Pastor today, there's nothing like landing in Damascus, Syria. Walking down the street called Straight in the book of Acts. Hanging a right, going into Ananias' house. It's still there. Going downstairs into the bedroom where the Apostle Paul was 2,000 years ago. And there's usually a bunch of tourists in there. Usually a bunch of people in there. And I'm like, dang, there's too many people in here. So you know what I usually do? I go, and they go, and they all vacate. And here I am, sitting in the Apostle Paul's bedroom in Ananias' house in Damascus, Syria. A Southern California Christian American in Damascus, Syria. What'd you do? I started to pray in tongues and worship God. And I began to dream. I began to dream like never before. Never before. Some of you have lost your dreamer. What do you dream of today, Jason? Ships and planes and 18-wheelers filling all of the tummies of hungry poor kids all over the world, attacking world poverty. That's why you pay attention to your tears and you pay attention to what makes you angry. Why? It's a sign of what you're called to do. What makes you cry? What brings tears to your eyes is a sign of something you're called to heal. What makes you angry? What makes you really angry? It's a sign of something you're called to change. I hate poverty. There's nothing holy about it. It's a curse. So what am I doing? I'm feeding the poor. I dreamed of having the largest food ministry in my city. I already have it in Tulsa. We've been on television all over the world. We went from the millions of dollars worth of food to the tens of millions of dollars worth of food in 2 years. Why? Because I go and I find there's 5,000 pounds of beans and rice. And I jump up on top of it in the middle of my warehouse. And I'll just begin to worship God right there on the beans in my pallet. And I just say, thank you, Father. Thank you for trucks and ships. Thank you, we're going to go into the hell holes of the earth. Thank you that the day is going to come that I'm going to cross over the line and the multiplication of fishes and loaves is going to begin to operate one day. I laid my hands on Maria Woodworth Edder's grave. You trace Benny Hinn's ministry. Benny Hinn has it now. Guess who had it before him? Catherine Kuhlman. Well, if you trace it back, guess who had it before her? Amy Simple McPherson. If you trace it back, who had it before her? A lady by the name of Maria Woodworth Edder. They called her Mother Edder, Indiana. All of a sudden, I laid my hands on her tombstone and I said, Lord, let the miracles operate one day. Let the miracles operate one day in my ministry that operated in hers. Next thing I know, I'm in Pakistan. I'm preaching the gospel. The Holy Ghost falls, not just in the church, a kilometer outside of the church. They started getting filled and running into the church. Why? Because I've learned how to dream. We're like those brought back from captivity. Israel began to see again. Began, look, you've got to see it. You've got to say it. And then you've got to seize it. You've got to begin to see what others can't see. You've got to be willing to go where others don't want to go. You've got to be willing to do what nobody wants to do in this city. We just got a call from Pat Robertson's University, CBN. They picked us out of all the food ministries. to do their first big outreach August 29th. I'm thinking, all right, what does that entail? You have no idea. They're bringing 18-wheelers in. We're going to give about $500,000 worth of food away to the city of Tulsa. Pat Robertson's son, Gordon, is flying in. They're doing meetings at the prayer center on Friday night. They're bringing the Operation Blessing and CBN partners in from the Midwest into Tulsa to go to our food outreach in Chamberlain Park in North Tulsa. They're bringing their mobile command center, their mobile housing unit. They're bringing all of this, everything. And we're beginning to flood into Tulsa. Why? Because I begin to see what others can't see. How are you going to get there, Jason? That's not my responsibility. That's his. That's his. You know why? Because I didn't ask for this, Jack. I was on my way to Hollywood to get into acting. That's where I was going. Hey, Father Jesus, oh, hallelujah. That was not my game. I didn't grow up in the church. Many of you heard my testimony. No these and thous. Okay? I went to Catholic school, but I grew horns, not a halo. It's like those who began to dream again. Those who began to dream. Some of you have lost your dreamer. Some of you need to go home and get in a quiet place away from your spouse. I'd say go to the ocean, but you don't have one here. Go to a lake. Go to an open field. Go in your bathroom. Turn on the light. Look yourself in the mirror. And begin to dream again. Begin to dream of the dreams that God has given you. What do you think happened when Joseph got the dream and he looked at his circumstances as being the youngest? What do you think happened when Paul got the vision and he said, my God, the very thing I've been persecuting is that which I'm supposed to help save? What do you think Jeremiah said when God said, I called you out while you were a prophet, while you were still in the mother's womb? Don't you think they had a battle inside of their mind of how God, when God, me God, are you crazy God? Of course. Of course. But some of you, you walk it in the game called life, and all of a sudden life smacked you in the butt. And all of a sudden, whether you fell into sin, wrong relationships, wrong choices, all of a sudden the devil hit your knee. And now you're walking 7 miles out of Jerusalem on the way to Emmaus speaking doubt and unbelief. Some of you are walking a straight line and all of a sudden it just started to go like this. Why? Because life hit you. Or financial hardship hit you. Or the devil hit you. Or something happened. You just start going like this. You said, oh, the heck with it. No. Some of you need to begin to start dreaming again. For that business that He's called you to do. That your kid's going to get off drugs. Your family's going to be saved. That revival's going to come here. You know what I dream for this place? So it just destroys His vision. That he has to go to like 5 services on Sunday morning. If I was the pastor of this church, and I'm not, and I don't know what goes on here, I have no idea. But if you know what I would do? I'd come in here at nighttime when nobody's there, and I'd sit like this, and I'd just close my eyes, and I would dream of thousands coming through there. The same way I do when I'm in my warehouse. I go into other people. You know what I did to my house? See, I don't have a house yet. We live in an apartment. Okay, doesn't bother me a bit. Because you ain't going to catch me mowing the lawn. I hate mowing the lawn. I don't got time to do yard work. Okay? So I'll pay someone to do it for me. Okay? But I found the house that I want. So it drives Tara nuts. You know what I do to that house? I drive right in the driveway. Big old lens. I start taking pictures of the house. Tara's like, oh my God, Jason, what are you doing? I said, that's my house. There's somebody living there, but they don't know it's my house. I looked all over Tulsa, and this is the house that we want, and this is the one we want, because I got friends that want to come from all over the world. They want to come join us. They want to come stay with us. And a lot of them don't want to come to go in the ministry. You know what they want to do? They say, Jason, we just like being around you. Why? Because some things are taught, but most things are caught. You catch the spirit, and you run with it. Yes, of course you educate yourself, all right? You're not a ding-dong. So all of a sudden, I pulled up to my house. Okay, now you understand, I'm not coveting anything, okay? I'm like, God, that's what I want. That's what Tara and I are believing for. That's what we want. Like, all of a sudden, the mom and her 3 kids come out of the house, and I was pulling up. I said, excuse me, ma'am. She goes, can I help you? I said, what are you doing in my house? She goes, I beg your pardon? I said, what are you doing in my house? That's my house. And you should have seen her face. Kids, get over here. Kids, get over here. And then I broke the ice. I said, no, ma'am. I said, Me and my wife just moved from Southern California, and out of all the houses in Tulsa, I like yours the best. And that's what we're believing God for. Your house. So get out. No, I didn't say that. It's like 8 bedrooms. Oh, why? Because I'm dreaming about it. I'm dreaming about it. One day I want my own airplane. Because baggage claim is of the devil. See, when you travel as much as I do, you'll understand. You know what God said to me? He said it, actually said it through another person. He said, would you like an airplane, Jason? I said, yeah, yesterday. He said, when it's not a status symbol to you, then I can give it to you. Okay. See, God working on me the same He working on you. That's why you don't kiss my ring. I'll smack you. When He brought back the captivity of Zion, He was like those who begin to dream again. You know what my dream was in the educational realm? Was to go to USC. Because I was from Southern California. But I went to the University of Arizona and majored in cocaine and minored in dope. It was my dream to go to USC. My dream now? To feed the world. Until all are fed. Both spiritually and naturally. And my dreams are so big that it's going to take God to do them. So that He gets the glory. And He gives me the victory. Some of you have lost your dreamer again and you think that God's forgotten you. No, He hasn't. You thinking, when God, when? Trust me, faith is now. God's not stuck. We are. If you don't have a smile on your face, it's your fault. Why? Because He's given everything. It's finished. It's been done. My pastor just came out with a series, A Place Called Done. Everything you have right now is inside of your spirit. In that measure of faith that He gave you. And as Pastor Dave says so eloquently, in that day, capital D, when all of this is over, you will not be able to say, Jason Hamlin, you didn't have enough money to finish your race. Why? Because in that DNA, in that measure of faith, I provided everything that you needed to fulfill your call.
Yes.
Everything has been given to us. I mean, that's why He says, take and see, taste and see that I'm good. Why is it in the churches of America that 20% of the people do 80% of the work? Because somewhere along the game called life, people got discouraged, they got offended, they fell into sin, they did this or they did that, and all of a sudden they begin to let their gift and their dreams and everything inside of them begin to go dormant. Man, some of you need to start dreaming again. I don't care if you're old or if you're young. There are things in Pastor and his wife's life that God has told them that I can guarantee, and I almost 99.9% guarantee they haven't come to pass yet, but they've spoken it to them. And they're waiting for it to come to pass. They're doing everything that they know to do. There are things in my pastor's life. There are things in Terima that God has spoken. There are things in the Word of God that God prophesied thousands of years ago that have still not come to pass. I never dreamed in my life. He called me into the Islamic nations. Now you know what I dream about? I dream about the Middle East. I dream about Saudi Arabia and North Korea. I dream about Iran. I dream about Afghanistan and Pakistan. They're begging me in Pakistan to come back and feed. They have no food. They want me to go to the Swat Valley. I'm like, thank God I'm in God's Swat. And I feed of feeding nations. I dream of standing before leaders of nations. You know, one of the horses in Revelation is famine. The price of food has doubled and tripled in the last 5 years. Milk, sugar, rice, it's all going up and up and up and up. It's no longer the poor that are coming to get food in Tulsa. The middle class are now coming to get food. I just saw a television commercial with Obama in my hotel room. One in eight people in America are going hungry in the greatest nation on the face of the earth. So I said to God one day, and He rebuked me. I said, you know what, God? I'm going to control the food. He said, no, you're not. He said, you're going to steward it, young man. And I went, oh God, I repent. He said, you're going to steward it. See, because when you have a dream, people that don't have a dream can't stand you.
Yeah.
See, because I sleep with my dream. I eat my dream. I speak my dream. I walk with my dream. I prophesy my dream. I cast my dream. And see, when I get around people that don't have a dream or don't have a vision, and I begin to talk about my dream, they will tolerate me for so long, then they will stop hanging around me. You know why? Because they don't have a dream. So they can't stand somebody that does have a dream. Why? Because they've never paid the price to get a dream. So if you're with me and Tara, it's just a matter of time. We will start talking about the things of God and the dreams that are in our heart. It's just why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Pastor and I were, listen, this is a true story, he'll tell you. We went to get some food for my hotel room, just some bottled water and some Coke and root beer and stuff last night. And we started talking about the things of God. Next thing you know, we didn't even know where we were in the supermarket. And I turned to him and I said, we got to stop talking about God because next thing we're going to be in the feminine product section. We're going to be in the diaper section. We're going to be in the makeup section. Why? Because we just start talking about, oh God, we passed that aisle 5 miles ago, we're moving back. Why? You start talking about dreams and visions. You start talking about what God's doing in your life. All hell breaks loose. You could care less what's going on. Pastor said one of the first places that they'll hit if they want a nuclear bomb is here in Dayton because of the Air Force Base and everything. You know what? I'd praise God for that. I'd praise God for that. That means you can be in the middle of the war. I don't know about you. I don't want to be in the outskirts. I want to be in the middle of what God's doing, whether it's Tulsa, Dayton, Jerusalem, Kuwait City, North Korea, whatever it is, God, I want to be in the middle of it. God, don't leave me out. Did you ever wonder why He picked us to live in this century and we didn't live in the 9th century or the 11th century or in the Dark Ages or in the Renaissance time? I mean, that was all nice and dandy until you got a toothache. But no, He picked us for this end time generation. To start dreaming dreams that you've let go dormant. Fear has gotten in there. Insecurities. Dream stealers. Unsaved family members. Yeah. I was talking to Tara the other night when we were going to bed. I said, the Middle East is just on my heart. I can't get it out. And I love America. Love it. Love Israel. 7 million, 7 million people living in Israel. I said, great God, I love Israel. I prayed for Israel. I've been to Israel. What about the 400 million in the Middle East? And nobody wants to go to. I'm going to close my eyes and dream of Saudi and revival. You know what Pastor Dave said to me? Pastor, not too long ago, he said, the day's coming that God's getting ready to turn whole nations over to themselves because they've rejected Him. First country that comes into Saudi. That's the first thing that came into my heart. You can't even take your Bible in country. King Fahd just died not too long ago, a couple years ago. Could you imagine being the leader of that whole entire nation? And you passed a law to keep the gospel of mankind out of your country. And then he died. What do you think Jesus said to him? Someone's got to get in there. Someone's got to go first. Brother Jason, I don't want to do that. That's okay. That's okay. You're not called to do that. Nothing wrong with that. But you're called to something. Yeah. You're not called to sit there on your blessed assurance. You're called to dream. And some of you have lost that. Some of you have said it'll never come to pass. Some of you have even said, stop saying when God, or why God, or how God. You just said, I'm saved. I've got fire insurance. You're not called to do that. I don't care if you're young like the lady in orange or if you're older like the lady in green. You can dream. And you'll sow in tears, but you're going to reap in joy. Because the Lord has done great things for you and I. First and foremost, our name's written in the book of life. I know exactly where I'm going when I leave this body. But before that happens, He's called us to do something. And it is not work 9 to 5 and rent a Blockbuster video on Friday night. Drive a nice car with a big house. All of that is a byproduct of it. Some of you need to dream again. And let me tell you something. When you start putting it out there, you watch what happens. All hell gonna break loose. It's like Pastor Dave says, when you start praying in the Holy Ghost, you're going to provoke an eternal war, an internal war on the inside of your emotions. Because I guarantee you, if Tiger Woods walked right back in there and sat right there in church on Sunday morning, 95% of the congregation would worship God like this. Oh, how I love Jesus. Wonder what he's doing here. Oh, how I love Jesus. And if Pamela Anderson walked in and sat over there, all the men would go, oh, how I love Jesus. And whoa, Jesus. Because we equate so much of the natural. Do you know who my heroes are? About 25 pastors in North Pakistan who, when I went to go preach to them, were eating on the floor out of their hands and go up into the Taliban region and pass out tracts, and the Muslims stone them, rape their wives. I started weeping and crying and said, man, are we missing it in America or what? These guys are doing it. Now, no, we don't have a knife to our throat saying convert to this or convert to that or be dead. No, we get offended. We stop coming to church. Someone sat in our seat. Someone cut us off on the freeway. Air conditioning in the car went out. It's 100 degrees. How dare he call me to go to church? Don't you know I have kids? You know what the poor does in Tulsa? Their kids have to be with them to get diapers. So they'll be out there in 100 degree weather or 15 degree ice to get diapers for their kids. My hat goes off to people like that. I begin to start dreaming for those people. I begin to start dreaming that God gives me the resources that I can make their dreams come to pass. That I can help them get to their destiny. That I can encourage them. I can't make them. I can't choose for them. But I sure as heck can compel them and give them a swift kick in the rear end. I dream of warehouses with loading docks. I dream of forklifts. I dream of unlimited resources of grain and flour and wheat and cheese and milk and diapers. And occasionally, so you don't think that I'm not some crazy nut job, I'll throw a BMW in there. Say, God, I like that car. I wouldn't mind having that. The psalmist said, I looked outside and I was prosperity. I thought, man, God, look at that and look at me in here. They're increasing in riches. They're getting another bonus. Must work for AIG. Must be in Wall Street or Main Street. What's that all about? Till I went into the sanctuary of my God. Then I understood therein. Why? Because in the year of Tiberius Caesar and Pilate and Herod and all of them, Ananias and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, not them. Some of you probably got the word of the Lord for this city inside of your spirit. But it's dormant. Because you've stopped dreaming. Don't ever stop dreaming. Don't ever stop believing that you can make a difference. When I first started the food ministry with Starbucks in April of 2001, they looked at me and said it was impossible to feed 15,000 people with Starbucks food. I told them to go suck an egg. They said it's impossible. I broke that in 2 months by myself alone out of my two-seater car. I fed just under 18,000 people because people told me I couldn't. See, that fuels my fire. You can't go to the Middle East? Really? Who do you think you are? You know what? For the first time in my life, I know who I am. And I know what I'm called to do. And I'm going to dream. And as I told Pastor today, while we were eating, and his wife, I said, if you don't want to dream, don't worry. When we get to heaven, you're going to be cutting my grass. Because I'm going to take your blessing and I'm going to go feed the poor. And I'm going to change my generation. I'm doing it. And it's costing me everything. See, your salvation's free. It costs Jesus his life, but your salvation's free. The anointing, on the other hand, will cost you your life. That'll cost you everything. I have these trucks, 18-wheelers. I don't deal in anything small coming into my warehouse. One after another, after another, after another, after another. You know what I start doing? I start biting my nails again. Increase like I've never seen it. I said, Jesus, how you doing, bud? How are we going to pay for this, God? He doesn't answer stupid questions. He doesn't. I've tried. He expects you and I to walk by faith. That's what He expects you and I to do. He's going to pay for it.
He's going to provide for it. He's going to make the way. So when you start dreaming, and I mean you really start dreaming, watch out. Because He's going to take you at your word the same way He expects you to take Him at His word. Because He's exalted above His name, and He's not a God that He can lie. He's not schizo like we are. Every single one of us is jacked up. And He still loved us and He still called us. We all have shortcomings. We all have character defects. We have all of that. There's only one perfect person in here, and His name is Jim Martin. Yeah. I call Him JJ. Jesus Jr. And His wife says, I don't know about that. Just wanted to whet your appetite a little tonight. Just wetting it just a little bit. After I got done, the pastor from the church got up and started walking towards me like this. And in my mind, I said, oh Lord, I crossed the line. He's done. I'm out of here. He's kicking me out of the pulpit. And He sat right there and kneeled down in front of His whole congregation and said, that person is me. He said, you have changed my life, young man. And He's known throughout all of the Church of God, all over America. He said, you have changed my life. After we were done fellowshipping, just sitting back in the back, fellowshipping and eating, pulls out a check, the ministry checkbook from the church, and says, I want to sponsor trucks to feed the poor. Wrote me a big old check for trucks. Now this thing we're doing August 29th, him and 20 of his congregation are driving out for the event. His leadership and people have called my cell phone nonstop saying, my God, he is a completely different human being. Because he's beginning to dream again. Don't stop dreaming. Dayton, Ohio. Don't stop dreaming. And when the devil jumps on your shoulder and says, who do you think you are? Shut up, devil. It'll never come to pass. You'll never do it. You know what? Agree with your adversary. You're right. It'll never come to pass. You know why? Because I can't do it. But God's going to do it in me and then through me. You ever wonder why God called you? I do all the time. Lord Jesus, what did you see in me? Father. You know what Catherine Kuhlman said? I was third on the list. You know why she was third? Because three men before her didn't obey. Think about that one. If you're in here tonight and you've lost your dreamer, stand up. And I know there's a few of you. Same thing happened in Cornerstone. Same thing happened in Hawaii. Same thing happened in Australia. Same thing happened in New Zealand. Why? The word just came out by the man of God right here. He has unloaded darkness in this nation right now. And all hell is breaking loose against the church, against our families, against our finance. But He gave us a promise. And as my pastor so eloquently coins it, when He gives us a promise, it takes it out of golden tongue oratory. Takes it out of the realm of speculation or theory and puts it into the realm of fact. If we build on the rock, not on our ministry, not on our gift, not on our bank account, not on our education. If we build on the rock, when the storms come, because Jesus said, they're coming. They're not coming, they're here. And when the waters begin to rise, listen, they're not rising, they're risen. He said, don't worry, because you built on the rock, I give you a promise. Your ministry, your church, your business, your finance will not go down the river. But you know what's happening right now? I'm up here on this rock and the floods have risen. And there goes one of my friends, shoo, down the river. And there goes, shoo, shoo. People are going like this, left and right, all over the place. You know what I'm doing? And I do not mind admitting it. Jesus, hold on to me. Hold on to me and don't let go. There's more of you.
There's more of you. You know what I hear the Lord say? And I don't even know you. Your best days are ahead of you. How old are you?
85.
Whew, humdinger.
Just a beginner.
Just a beginner. You're just 5 years older than Caleb. When Caleb said, "Give me that mountain." The best days are ahead of you. I want to get to the place in my Christianity where I can stand in front of people that don't like me, want to kill me. And I can look them straight in the eye and say, "Let me show you how a Christian dies." That's where I want to get. And I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to love you. I don't think there's anybody that's taught me more about the love of God and dreaming than my pastor right now. Anybody else? See, aren't Christians funny? Man, if that's you, get up. If it ain't you, stay down. Those that are watching around the world, wherever you're at, if you've lost your dreamer, stand up in your living room, your office, your church, by your computer, stand up right now. Because He's going to begin to restore the dream that He gave you. Whatever it may be. Because your dream is not necessarily my dream. And my dream is not necessarily your dream. And my journey of revelation knowledge is not Pastor Jim's journey of revelation knowledge. Pastor, you know what I finally got free from? That my call is not Pastor Dave's call. You know what he told me? He said, "Jason, you know at 40 what I never knew at 40. So you know what I did? I took Pastor Dave's dream and quadrupled it for my dream. Jason, you're nuts." Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
And the closer you get to me, it will rub off on you. I kept trying to fit in at the prayer center. I don't fit in nowhere. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to be a light in the middle of darkness. And that, I'm not saying you don't have unity. You have unity. But you're not called to fit in nowhere. When you walk into a place, the dirty jokes stop. Why? Not because you're... Just because the love of God, people just go, "Oh man, I just, you know... I'm so sorry." You don't have to be sorry. I hear it all the time, all over the place. So I'm telling you right now, those of you that have the dream in your heart, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, quadruple that dream. Take it and quadruple it. For your family and your kids, your loved ones, your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews, for you, for this church, for pastor, his wife, for what God's called you to do, for Dayton, for Ohio, for the nation of America, for the nations of the earth. One of the quickest ways to see your dreams come to pass is help your senior pastor get to his dreams. You watch what God does in your life. Start opening doors that no man can open and that no man can shut. Close your eyes. Everybody, say, "Dear Lord Jesus, somewhere along life, I got discouraged, offended, sin crept in, made some wrong choices, made some wrong decisions, made some mistakes. And for that, I ask you to forgive me. And I repent right now. And your word says that if I repent from my heart, you are faithful to cleanse me of all of that stuff. So today, right now, I stir up that gift. And I stir up that dream. And starting tonight, I'm going to begin to dream again. Lord, open my eyes. Give me eyes to see what others cannot see. Give me a willing heart to do what others don't want to do. To go where others don't want to go. Tonight, Lord, I want to dream again. All of the promises in my life and all the promises in your word are yes and amen to the glory of God. So I expect dreams and visions. I expect visitations. I expect habitations. I expect to see angels. I expect signs and wonders. I expect revival in my personal life. Revival in my family. Revival in my finance. Revival in my church. Revival in my city. Revival in my state. And revival in my nation. And revival in the nations of the earth. Tonight, I dream again. And I thank You, Lord, that I've released my faith. And because I release my faith, You're going to meet me where I'm at. Because You move by faith. And You operate by faith. And when I release my faith, You are bound by Your Word to move in my life. Because tonight, I dream again. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Now those that stood up, I want you to find a quiet place tonight, tomorrow, over this next weekend. Away from your spouse. You go for a walk. You lock yourself in your bathroom. You lock yourself in a bedroom. You go find a lake. You go find a quiet place. And just start dreaming again. Just let it flow. And when you start letting it flow out of your heart, He's going to come wherever you're at. And I guarantee you, you are going to feel the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, you're going to have a skip in your step and a glide in your stride and a smile on your face. And it's not going to be fabricated. Why? Because you didn't do it by the strong arm of the flesh. You didn't Ishmael it. You did it by His Spirit. You know what I dream about? Being holy. Because that was a foreign word to me before I got saved. You know, I'll be sitting at the driving my car. My wife's in the passenger seat. I'm at the light. And the light goes green. And I don't even see it. Jason, it's green again. My God, Jason. She has to tell me that 9 out of 10 times. Now, I'm not telling you to do it in your car. But we'll go out with people. And I'll be sitting on the corner of the table and everybody's talking to me. Or talking and I'm in another world. Because I am constantly dreaming. Constantly. 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 And my dreams are so big they'll make you nervous. And make my family think I'm nuts. Amen? Amen. Tomorrow night, take it another step.